Swamp leeches, everybody, check for swamp leeches and pull them off. Nobody else got hit? I'm the only one? What's the deal?
Homemade Broadcast, episode 83. Look at that. See what happens when you write things down? You know what you're doing. You know who you're talking to. You know what to talk about. It's all laid out before you. What a pleasure. My name is Will Koontz. I am host of this program called The Homemade Broadcast. Radio St. Pete, RadioSt.Pete.com. What's up? How y'all doing? I hope y'all are fine. Doing okay. You know, I'm hanging in there. I got my iced coffee. I got a guest who's on time and, in fact, was a little early. That's never happened before. That's fantastic. Before we get to that person, let me just tell you that the Homemade Broadcast is now on iTunes. So make sure you subscribe to that on iTunes or on your podcast app on your iPhone or Android device. Just search for the Homemade Broadcast. You'll be able to find that and enjoy it. And if you want to get a hold of me, good ways to do that are via email, of course, at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. Or you can, I have a Google number where you can leave a voicemail, but I don't have that in front of me, so I'll post that. Or you can hit me up on Twitter, home_made_man. Of course, Facebook, facebook.com/thehomemadebroadcast. That's probably the best way. Don't forget this Tuesday, the 14th. Is the open mic at Sly Bar. $50 grand prize of the best comic of the night, chosen by audience participation. So that's fun. And make sure you get out there, see some comedy and some jokes, and maybe even win some money if you're feeling froggy. Who knows? This podcast, of course, is brought to you by Sly Bar. Find out why I love the burg is named Sly Bar, one of the top businesses to watch in 2015. Good folks, fun events. They got decent beer selection. It's just fun, all the way fun. They're having a Rocky Horror Picture Show night this weekend. I'm going to go check out. I'm afraid, but I'm still going to go and check it out. And you should too. And of course, coming up, we got the 2 weeks from Friday. It's We're Still Here, Showcase of Tampa Bay Stand-Up Comedy. Free tickets are available. Just check out facebook.com/thehomemadebroadcast. Get the event tab. Pull that up, and you can print tickets. I encourage you, please, to print tickets and bring them. I don't know how I'm going to police this, but if you would, it would help me out dramatically. So please do that. And the guest I have who's on time and early, unbelievable. I'm still flabbergasted that I had to rush through this today, but I'm happy to do it. We got a man who's going to be on that show. We've been announcing the performer slowly over the past few weeks, so this is an early one, or one that hasn't been announced yet. So if you're listening, you get the pleasure of hearing Kyle Roos. Kyle, what's up, man?
What's up, buddy?
Not too much. I'm just still in shock that somebody's here early. That has never happened.
Literally. I'm never early. Like, I'm late to everything, so.
But to this podcast, you're like, I have to get there on time.
Well, it's St. Pete. Like, coming from Largo, like, I had to fight, like, 4th Street and all those treacherous traffic areas. So yeah. It was like, leave early. And I just got here early.
I think traffic's pretty good by like 6:30.
Usually, generally. Yeah. Depends. Yeah. Like, I take 118th, and that's like Seminole to the interstate, so it's usually backed up pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, we were just talking before you went outside about living in the White Hood of Pinellas County.
The White Hood, Park and Starkey. That's where I grew up. It is riddled with pawn shops.
It really is.
Riddled with pawn shops.
I bought a bike there for $75.
It's probably stolen.
It probably was.
Guaranteed it's stolen.
Yeah. It's been a good bike to me.
Well, the good thing is that you live in St. Pete, so people in that neighborhood don't usually leave.
Right.
So you're not going to ever run into that person again.
I got the gist that since there's so many bicycles that maybe they travel down here, grab a bike, take it back home, then have someone from St. Pete come buy that said bicycle and bring it back.
To St. Pete.
It's a vicious cycle.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
You want to see the most white trash collection of people? Just look at any bus stop along Starkey in between Bryan-Derry and Park Boulevard. It's always the bus going to the mall. Like, that's always like
square.
Yeah, like those bus stops, like noon on a Saturday, you can just see like every terrible person in that neighborhood like waiting to go to the mall.
I love seeing like a pretty lady waiting for a bus because you don't see that very often.
Yeah.
It's like a unicorn.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a hot chick on the bus, and I took the bus like for a long time. Like I live on the beach. Owned a beach cruiser, pretty much took the bus and the trolley everywhere, and like I don't think I ever saw a hot chick on the bus.
It's rare, but every once in a while, I've never either, and I've taken the bus a few times in my life, but yeah. Every once in a while you just catch one waiting at the bus stop and you're like, whoa, I should buy a lottery ticket.
Like, why are you here?
Yeah, I don't know, man. But yeah, it's nice to see. So how long have you been living in, are you from the Bay Area?
Dude, I was born at Bayfront, like, I was born here. I'll die here, probably.
You think so?
Yeah. I hate it. I really, really, really hate it. But, like, a big part of me loves it here. Like, every time I start to hate, like, my neighborhood, like, you just go to the beach for, like, a half hour, and you're like, oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah. I thought I read something that you were from up north somewhere.
No. I was born and raised here. I actually graduated at Dixie Hollins High School. Well, didn't graduate. I dropped out and got a GED, but I got a degree. Or a GED, whatever the hell you want to call it.
Good enough.
Yeah. And then I moved to Jersey right after high school for a few years. I went to college up there. So, and then moved back like in 06, 07, I think, and started tattooing and then had a kid. Now I'm stuck here.
So, you didn't want to do the high school thing, dropped out. But yeah. Then you were like, you know what? I'm going to go to college.
Well, no, I dropped out of high school because, like, I hated it. And I was in that, like, FCAT generation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had already passed the FCAT. And that's, like, you know, what you need. Like, if you didn't pass it, they wouldn't let you graduate. And, like, I was like, all right, I passed this. This is boring. I just hated high school. I hated everybody there. I was, like, definitely stuck into, like, my group of, like, three or four, like, punk rock friends. Didn't care about anybody else. Was like, I'm going to drop out because I found out that if you were over 16 with a state-issued GED, that you could go to any community college. So I dropped out of high school and went to community college. So when I was, like, almost finished with my AA is when all my friends were, like, graduating actual high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I didn't finish that either, so.
Yeah, it seems like almost it would be more beneficial to quit at 16, get your GED, because I mean,
what's the last 2 years of high school? You know what I mean? Then, like, you're 18 with an AA. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're really ahead of the game. Because that's what a lot of, like, the smart, like, boss's kid graduated high school at 16. Because
yeah.
She's just smart and studious and got it done. And
public school in general is just pretty much pointless now. You know,
it's,
like, my daughter's, like, almost 7. And, like, I just started learning a lot about, like, the common core math that they're making these kids do. Like, it's like they're pretty much teaching them to like wipe their butt like the wrong way. Like there's one easy, simple, right way to do it. And it's like, nope, let's completely screw that up.
Yeah. I heard a lot of complaints about the Common Core. And I guess that's like a nationwide thing now.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I know that Louis C.K. got in trouble, or not in trouble, but a lot of criticism because he was tweeting about it. And I think that was one of the things that made him delete his Twitter account was over that whole...
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And it's not just like 5 + 2 = 7. There's like certain way you have to do that, right?
You have to like go back through and like... You're basically counting backwards to the answer instead of just formulating an answer. It's not like the way we were taught with like high number, low number, and like a subtraction bar under, or an addition bar. It's not like that.
I have a lot of teacher friends who I follow some on Snapchat.
And yeah, they all hate it.
They look like they just hate their lives.
Yeah, that's the sad part is even when teachers are like, this is not the way we should be teaching these kids to do this. which is why they're going to have more kids like me, because there's going to be more kids that are just like, nah, not doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I like to draw. I'm going to do that instead. You know, same thing with, like, they're going to find kids that aren't going to school because they're like, well, I'm going to go skateboard instead because that's what I'm good at.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like, there's not enough people that, like, by high school, like, you can usually tell, like, some kids have, like, talents and interests. And, like, our country, unlike others, like, they don't see that in kids and push them to just be the best they can at that. You know what I mean? They're just like, nope, degree, college, do it all.
Yeah, and it seems to be a vicious cycle, because I don't know who to really blame in that scenario. But yeah. I know, for instance, from my experience, I used to do art when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I had this whole collection. I probably told this story a lot, so I'm sorry anybody who's heard this before. But so I had this collection of drawings and paintings and stuff. And in eighth grade, I made friends and was more interested in playing paper football with my friends in art class than drawing and stuff. So last day of school came, and my teacher started to, like, hate me, and I was, like, kind of close with him. And you remember he pulled me aside one day and was like, what's the matter with you, man?
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you talking about? And, you know, I was in eighth grade.
What's the problem?
But, yeah. I sounded like Jerry Seinfeld in eighth grade. That's weird. So last day of school, I wasn't there for some reason. And I went to go get my stuff, and he threw it away. He threw away all my stuff. And I think I didn't pick up a pencil or anything for many years after that, till I probably got to college and started doing it again. But that's kind of like my dark ages. Like, where would I have been at with my art if that wouldn't have happened?
Yeah.
You know? Probably the same place.
I mean, art's like comedy, though. It's just like a freedom of expression.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's just like anything else. But so, like, I'm sure that guy is frustrated, though, with his kids, and he was probably frustrated with me because...
He probably still has it. He probably, like, sold it in the gallery show, and he's rich off your work.
Yeah, right. His Superman drawing is shaded really well. But, yeah, man, so I think, like, you know, parents aren't involved. My parents were loosely involved, but I really wasn't a bad kid or anything, you know? I kind of just did my own thing. I didn't get arrested or do drugs, really.
I wasn't a bad kid as far as anybody knew, because, like, we were so devious. Like, we were so good at covering our tracks, like, it didn't even matter. Like, nobody knew what we were up to. Like, I had some friends that I grew up with come to a show of mine a couple of weeks ago, and they were laughing at how much stuff that, like, I talked about was true. And they're like, people only knew that, like, we did some of that stuff. Like, We would have got, like, countless felonies committed, like, before the graduation age that, like, we were never caught for.
Right. And now it's hard to do because we live in that generation where everybody videotapes everything.
Yeah.
So
I think I actually like the way that my generation is, the way it's been split. Like, I remember having a phone, and, like, it was like, dude, you text? Like, you must be rich, because it was, like, 10 cents a text. So, like, asking somebody to get groceries a back and forth would cost you $1.50.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like emailing and, like, chat rooms, you know what I mean? Like, all that stuff started, like, end of middle school, beginning of high school. And then, like, I think college is, like, when it really exploded. Like, I think college was, like, when I first got a Facebook, and, like it just really, really, really exploded. But even just that program alone, like, what it was compared to what it is now, like, that program is blown up. Like, it's a huge interface.
Yeah, definitely. If you're just joining us, sitting down with Tampa Bay comedian Kyle Roos, Facebook definitely has grown tremendously. I fought Facebook tooth and nail trying not to get a Facebook.
Oh, me too. And the only reason I even have any social media stuff is because of work. Like, I'm the worst at I either post garbage or, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's nothing. Like,
you're not a big poster, though.
I'm not.
I never really see
it. I hate it. It's usually, like, pictures of my kid or, like, dick jokes. Like, that's pretty much, that's all it is.
That's your whole life, man.
Yeah, basically. I mean, like, in tattoo pictures, like, that's right. It. And, like, I always like to ruin people's day on the internet. That's one of my favorite things to do is if I ever want to get, like, like, jacked up for something, I just go read the comments on, like, a political post, and then, like, just hate the world around me.
Yeah.
And then, like, and then I'm in a good mood knowing that, like, I'm not as ignorant as some of those people. That's what I use the internet for.
I can't fight, like, I get, it ruins my day. So you're able to kind of laugh it off.
Oh, completely.
But it bothers me all day long.
There's like five or six people who I won't name that if you had a conversation with them, they would think that we were really good friends. But deep down inside, I think their entire life is a joke.
Uh-huh.
And that they're like just terrible, worthless people. But I love watching them post.
You love hating them.
Oh my, no, it's not even that I love hating them. I love just watching how terrible their life is, because they're people that post everything on Facebook. And it's like, your life, like, should be like an episode of, like, it should be a soap opera. Like, it should be on, like, my grandma should be watching your life at noon on a Tuesday. Like, that's how bad your life is. Like, people, like, you shouldn't know that from the internet, that, like, you have a girlfriend but, like, knocked up some other girl. Like, that's not something you put on the internet.
Yeah.
But, like, I know that about somebody right now. There's literally somebody on my Facebook who knocked up another chick, like, while they have a girlfriend. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And it's like, better delete that. That's what you should do.
Not put this on Facebook. Yeah. That's tip number one. Yeah, man. There's a lot of oversharing that I think.
I love it, though.
I do, too. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's the best. It is the best.
There was one that I saw that said, ready for court, hashtag DWI. And I was like, whoa.
You know how you know they're from up north? Because they called it a DWI, not a DUI.
But there's a difference, right? Because there's a DUI and then there's a D. This has always been something that bothered me, too. I should ask one of my attorney friends, I guess. Because there is a DWI and a DUI, and they're two different things.
There's a BUI, too. Like a biking under the influence.
Oh, really?
And boating.
Okay, yeah. Boating.
I didn't know that you could get a DUI on a bicycle. Like, if you're riding a bicycle drunk, like, they can give you... I thought that was just public intoxication.
I guess I could see that, because you can get... You know, you can book on a bicycle. You can get up to 15 miles an hour on a bike. You can hurt somebody if you're smacking
them. I mean, you can't plow through, like, a group of kids on a bike, you know what I mean? Like,
You could. I fantasize about it daily, about just plowing through a group of young children on my bicycle.
I would just bunny hop them.
Lay down on the ground. Don't pick your head up.
Yeah. Well, unless it's my kid, like, I don't really care.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I hate all your kids. They're all terrible. All they do is get mine sick. They're stupid. Like, everybody's kid I've met except for mine is dumb. Like,
I think you might be biased, though, Kyle.
No, I don't think it's biased. I think that people just don't read to their kids, and that's something, like, I grew up with, like, a teacher for a mom. My mom's worked in early child development, like, our whole life. And, like, that's one thing that she was like, I'm going to let you be a parent the way that you're going to be a parent. Because, like, you can't teach somebody how to do that. I'll always be here if you want to learn something. But if I ever find out that you're not reading to that little girl, like, she's like, no respect.
Yeah.
And, like, that's, like, become one of, like, my favorite parts of the day. You know what I mean? Is, like, that last, like, you know... It's 10 minutes at the end of the day. You read One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish with your kid. You know what I mean? And they're stoked because, like, that's personal time you're spending with them. And, like, my kid, like, is super articulate. You know what I mean? Like, for everything that she has in like, intelligence, she directly lacks in motor skills.
Is she clumsy?
Very, very. My kid's super clumsy. But, like, I just think, like, I'm clumsy, so...
Yeah, as it gets, it comes by it naturally.
Yeah, it works out. Like, my kid's first step that she ever took, I was like, oh, no, she's going to take a step. And, like, she put her foot out to take a step and, like, leaned forward and just missed her foot completely.
Going down.
And just literally, like, had a goose egg on her head, like, screaming. Like, you know, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, you know.
How old's your kid now?
She's almost seven. She's six now. She's seven.
She's, like, a person now. She's, like, a real thing.
Oh, yeah, like, she's hilarious, man. Like, she's had a cool life, man. Like... The cool thing I've noticed is, like I've been tattooing for 8 years now. Like, I know a lot of people that are covered in tattoos. I know a lot of, like, barfly comics and, like, you know, alternative-looking people. And, like, they are out-parenting everybody I know that wears, like, a suit to work.
Mm-hmm.
They really are, because, like, they're teaching their kids to be creative. They're, like, taking them to do things. They're hands-on, you know? And, like, their kids are just more respectful. And it's funny because, like, you know, a lot of those people look at us like we're scum. And it's like, yeah, well, I might look like scum, but, like, my kid's not, like, you know, holding on to a tree, leaving the park, throwing a fit. Mine's like, cool, let's go. It's time to go.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird how that happens, like how people think that, like, you know, I have face tattoos and they're like, oh my god, your little girl was like so well behaved. It's like, how did you do that? Like, paid attention. Like, talk to her like a person. Told her that was wrong. You know what I mean? Like, not afraid to raise my voice to my kid. Like, dude, you don't have to be your kid, dude. Like, you raise your voice and, like, show your, like, you know, stern side to your kid once or twice when they're younger. They'll never question that. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, all right, yeah, you get pissed.
Was your daughter something that you planned to do, or was it more of a, oh, I guess we're doing this type of thing?
So what happened was I got hammered drunk on a camping trip and had an awesome weekend in North Florida, which actually, ironically enough, was the last time me and my kid's mom ever got along. It was like that weekend. And then it was like, we're having a kid. And then we split up, and like 7 years later, like, still dealing with stuff in court.
Yeah, it never ends. My parents got divorced when I was 2 years old, so yeah. I don't even really have memories of them even being
together. Mine doesn't either. Her whole life is known, like, okay, like, I'm at your house half the week, her house half the week.
I like that. I like that I don't remember them being together, because yeah, like, oh, that's terrible. You know, I'm like, no, that's good.
Awesome. Yeah. I never had to deal with that. Like, this is all my kid knows. Like, that's what she knows. She knows, like, my house here. But it's so common now, too. You know what I mean? Like, everybody, like every one of her little friends at school is, like, the same way. You know what I mean? It's, like, it has become the norm. Like, relationships and marriages and stuff just don't really work. Like, the funny thing is, like, I think that, like, my relationship now, like, years later is so much better because I've had to, like, fight with somebody so hard that, like, I'm just done fighting. Like, I don't want to fight. That's why everybody's like, yeah, like, your second, third marriage, that'll be the good one. First one, just get it out of the way. It's like the chick you lose your virginity to. You're like, let's just get this one out of the way.
I remember.
Yeah. Oh, man. I wish, like, I think that was the first thought I've ever had of that chick in, like, 5 years. Oh, no.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man. I feel like I used to kind of resent my parents for their behavior regarding how they dealt with my situation. Both of them seem like, and I was a child, so my perception is that of a kid.
Yeah.
But they both were monsters, it seems like. And, but they were 23, 24 years old.
Yeah, it's
old.
Like, I turned 21, like, literally a month before, like, that happened. Like, I was, like, my 22nd birthday was 3 weeks after my kid was born. Like, I turned 22, like, 3 weeks after that. It was actually the year the Rays won the World Series.
Uh-huh.
It was 08. It was the year the Rays won the World Series. I just turned 22, and I'm like, oh, my God, like, I'm having a kid. The Rays are in the World Series. Like, I don't have a good job. Like, it was just, I mean, at that age, like, I could see, like, what your parents went through. Like,
yeah.
I stressed out. I'm like, what do I do?
Yeah. And, I mean, they were married, so it's like, I think people are out of their mind to get married in their 20s.
Yeah, I just think marriage is dumb to begin with.
As an institution, I agree.
Yeah, it's not this. I mean, yeah, if you're, like, one of, like, the Duggar kids on, like, you know, like, some, like, you grew up in, like, an evangelical, like, Southern Baptist house, yeah, get married, totally. Because putting a ring on somebody's finger means that you can put your wiener in them, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like the real world, like all of us. So, like, we can do that without shame because we're just like, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But, like, this, there's no, I don't think marriage is sacred anymore. Like, relationships aren't even sacred. The biggest part about relationships that people look forward to now, they're like, oh, how long you guys been together? We've been together like 2 years. Oh, well, Facebook only says 6 months. You know what I mean? Like, it's so, like the term Facebook official, like, is like, oh my god, it's Facebook official.
Yeah,
like, it's stupid. Like, there's nothing secret about it. Like, there's nothing, like, there's no personal, like, I don't know, like, people don't have, like, their you time, like we said, with social media, because everything is out there, like, relationships too, you know what I mean? Like, that's what's cool about, like my girlfriend's like a couple years older than me. And, like, she's, like, she, I mean, she has Facebook, but, like, it's not, like,
an everyday
thing. It's not a virus that's, like, consumed her.
Yeah.
It's just, like, yeah, it's Facebook. It's whatever. You know what I mean? Like, she still has, like, that value of, like, some things are personal. Like, I don't have to post everything that happens in my life. You know what I mean? Yeah, she'll totally check in at the gym and totally check in at Dunkin' Donuts. You know what I mean? But it's not like some of these chicks that are like, oh, half-naked selfie in my tub. Check in at home with your address. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I see stuff people put up there. I've seen credit card numbers. Mm-hmm. I've seen their driver's licenses. Yeah. Their number. It's just amazing how, I guess, dumb. I don't know how else to put it. People are with that stuff, man. It's very scary.
Every time I see a chick, like, post something, like, I see, like, once a night, there's, like, some chick who, like, clearly didn't have a dad. And, like, you know, they're just starving for attention. And it's like, you know, it's always the same picture. It's like the candles around the tub with just the knees popping out of the water and, like, the bottle of wine that says, oh, like, lovely night at home alone, you know. And then they check into their house. And I always want to just, like, drive to their house and just go knock on their window and be like, yo, what's up? What's going on?
Hang out.
Yeah. Why are you alone?
I brought my swimsuit. I can hop in the tub with you if you want.
I'm totally not a perv. I brought a swimsuit. But yeah, it's just, come on, man.
I know. If you're just joining us, sitting down with comedian Kyle Roos. Kyle's going to be performing with us at the We're Still Here showcase at Tampa Bay Comedy. Again, check out facebook.com/thehomemadebroadcast. Click the event tab. Go to the Eventbrite page. Get your ticket. And it's going to be a good time, man. I'm looking forward to that event. Kyle's texting. He's on Facebook.
No, I was actually shouting out my family law attorney.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, dude. My family law attorney is like the Mike Tyson of attorneys. She is so tough and so awesome that she's made a dude like that looks like me like look like an angel in the eyes of the family law court circuit. So I can't even complain at all. So I was giving her like a proper shout out.
On Facebook?
Like, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Cool. I was like, yo, hit her up. Like, none of you guys' relationships worked out.
Yeah.
Hit up Angela Leaner, dude.
I also saw, I don't know if you want to talk about this, so you can tell me just to move on.
I already but there's know what it's gonna
a PI chronicle that you had. So what was that about? Did you ever figure that out?
I still can't talk about that for like 8 to 12 weeks.
Okay.
But I promise when it all comes out, when it's all said and done. I wasn't tailed here, so we're good. It seems to only be on the weekends, is when it's it's actually a it's a white Hyundai. It's a white Hyundai four-door that just seems to always be where I'm at on the weekends. Uh-huh, and uh-huh. There's a person involved in my life who threatened that, so we've just been keeping an eye on it, but we were having a lot of fun with it for a couple of days.
Yeah, I saw that. I was intrigued on the Facebook.
My phone blew up, like, literally, like, I couldn't even use my phone for personal use for like 2 days because you're like, what's going on? I think the best thing that happened is I realized how good of like friends I had when that first happened. And my buddy was like, yo, you want me to, like, he's another short, stocky dude with a beard. He's like, yo, you want me to, like, come to your house and, like, leave your house in, like, a hat and one of your shirts and just go drive your truck around so you can go get some free time?
Maybe masturbate in a public space, you know?
Yeah, it is totally. Watching. Like, we were joking around. We were like, well, what would you do if you had a PI following you all day? I was like, I should go do charity work all day.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, what did he do? Like, I go to the soup kitchen? Like, I saw him, like, groom a baby, like, you know.
He kissed it on its head?
Yeah, he just gently. Did. Oh, it was really good. Then he took all these cans, helped an old lady across the street, tied a child's shoe without punching it.
And then he murdered a hooker at the end of the night. It was crazy.
Well, we were joking. The biggest thing that was funny is because, like, the night that, like, I had gotten, like, the word that, like, apparently, like, that was what was happening, I had two shows that weekend. So I was laughing so hard that, like, this potential private investigator paid a cover to watch me, like, do shows.
Oh, so you put some money in your pocket? Yeah, right on. Well, at least it went to a good place then, you know?
Oh, yeah. I was like, awesome. Like, hopefully they're a comedy fan now. And I was like, I wish I knew who it was.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to know, like,
what dude it was. Like, I've never paid attention to anybody in the crowd. Like I don't.
It's
like,
hard to see though. I mean, with the light and everything.
I mean, like, even afterwards. Well, not so much like here, because like when I'm at home, dude. Like, I'll go, I'll do my stuff. Like, I might BS with like the comics for a few, and then like I'll go home. You know, but like on the road is like when I hang out with everybody at a venue afterwards. Like, if I go on the road, dude, like, I'm like, you know, where there's random people like, oh, where are you from? And you're like, oh, I'm from Florida. They're like, oh, you should go to this bar, or this bar. And like, I love like checking out places like out of town and stuff. That's actually the big project that like we're working on right now. Like, have you met Ali Shahari? He's he was around a few years ago. He doesn't do stand up anymore. But me and him are working on a project right now where it's basically going to be like a mashup like travel show. That's basically from the perspective of like me and my friends who are like tattooers, and me being a comic, of like when we go to a new town, like we always hit like, you know, like the really dirty dive bars, like, but we're all like foodies too, you know, like we're always trying to find like that farm to table like rad little eatery that's like making homemade awesome stuff,
right?
So we're shooting a pilot for basically like a travel show for hipsters.
Okay.
Basically, because like that's basically the type of places, even though that's not me at all, like it's just those are the type of people that usually hang out at those type of establishments. But it's going to be the basis of the show is where like we would visit a town and we would visit a tattoo shop and showcase like a local tattooer that's like really good, and like spend some time with them, get some lunch, go get some beers, and then like meet some comics from out of town, like showcase a comedy club, get some history about that, history about the town, like some the stuff that like the locals would tell you, you know what I mean, getting like the local side of the story of an area. And we're actually going to start shooting the pilot, we're actually going to shoot it about Tampa.
Okay.
About Tampa Bay, because we figure if we can shoot a pilot, I mean, we're here, we don't have the money, like, I mean, we're doing this on a shoestring budget as it is. The guy Ollie that I'm working with, he actually does video production like by trade, like that's his thing. He was the guy who filmed my the web series that we were doing, Funny Pricks. He's the guy who filmed and edited that, like, and we're actually keeping that name. It's just gonna be Funny Pricks still, but we're expanding it into like hopefully a sellable idea. But we're gonna start filming that in mid-May. We're just waiting to get the money together for like the last couple of things we need,
right?
Like a boom mic and, you know, some lavaliers and some cables, but everything else is set. We've got some really awesome people set up to interview, like two really cool restaurants, an awesome bar, two breweries. We're going to film at Side Splitters in Tampa, and we're actually going to be showcasing Matt Fernandez as like the comic, because I've tattooed Matt a lot.
Yeah.
He was already on that show. We have a rapport already built up as far as like being on camera together. And then the tattooer is my buddy Mark Richards, who's just blowing up in the tattoo world right now. He's just like gotten really, really good, and he just keeps getting good. He's got a work ethic like that's beyond anybody I've ever met in any profession. But he's also like a huge foodie, like huge foodie. Like, the dude loves food, loves cocktails. Like, basically that's the whole point of the show, is like, you know, letting tattooers and comics show you around the town.
Yeah, it sounds like a great idea. When do you expect that to be available?
As of right now, we're looking at like a good like 2 weeks of like actual shooting. The hard part that we've been running into is like we are doing everything like ourselves, and like Ollie is like literally editing the whole thing by himself, pretty much paying a buddy or two with beers to run a camera and a boom mic and him filming. But hoping to get everything filmed by the end of the May, and then hopefully probably like end of the summer, fall, we should probably have everything like edited and ready. And then we're gonna have a we're gonna look into having like a sweet viewing party, and then we're just gonna put it up on YouTube, like, so it'll be free to watch. And then hopefully build a little bit of a YouTube audience while we're sending it out and trying to get it shopped around, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Is it like a half an hour, an hour?
No, it's gonna be an hour. It's gonna be the pilot itself will be 42 minutes chopped up like as if it had commercial breaks, like, you know what I mean, as professional as we can possibly make it. So but like, I mean, we were like thinking about like, you know, what kind of stuff would like you cover about Tampa, you know? And it was like a lot of people don't know, like the Cuban sandwich actually started here. It's not from Cuba. That was started in Tampa.
Right.
The story of how it started is even funnier. According to the internet, the Cuban sandwich is actually started by like a guy who worked at a Cuban restaurant that used to eat like gas station sandwiches, and he would eat a gas station like salami and Swiss cheese sandwich, you know what I mean, with pickles, and then he would just pull like the awesome good pork from their restaurant, throw it on it and press it. Mm-hmm. And then somebody was like, that's really good, and then that's how it started. Apparently was like basically somebody doing what I do at 3 a.m. in my house. I'm like, yeah, Cool Ranch Doritos are gonna be awesome on this tuna sandwich, you know, and you're like, this is two things that should go together right now.
I do that a lot, especially when you're coming home after a night of booze and you got to get creative sometimes. I live here by myself, so I don't really cook that much, so I get very creative with some of these things.
I love to cook, man. Like, I've had a lot of kitchen jobs. I've done a lot of different like culinary stuff. Like, I actually, Chris Mattson and me started, we haven't done in a while, but we were having like a comics cookout like here and there in my house, like, just, you know, I really pick a basic theme like Mexican, and then everybody would bring something along. Yeah, and bring something or cook there. Like, I cook like a lot. Like, my family's Puerto Rican, and like my grandma taught me at a really early age how to make like super good rice from scratch. Mm-hmm. And like, I've been able to take that and apply it to like other cultures. And like,
that's a base, man. That's a solid foundation.
Oh yeah, maybe. Like, I mean, like rice like from scratch. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, nothing, like the only thing that would be coming from a can would be like tomato paste. Mm-hmm. Which is just a good thing just to make like a red sauce. But like, she taught me how to cook rice, and like, I've applied that to like other flavors and made like more like Mexican style rice, and like, it's been awesome.
Yeah, right on.
Cooking's fun though, man. Like, anything creative is awesome. Like, that's why I tattoo, I stand up, like, I mean, I paint, I like to, like, I've been, like, silently writing some satire. Nothing I would share yet, you know what I mean? But, like, I'm an ideas dude.
And please,
like,
tell me it's a romance novel.
No. I did have a really funny idea for a rom-com. Like a really awesome rom-com about two fat people that fell in love. But, like,
I think there's Mike and Molly on CBS.
I love that show.
I heard it's pretty good. Dude, I've never seen it, but.
It's really funny. It's really funny. And actually, Billy Gardell actually used to do stand-up at St. Pete Coconuts. Yeah. Like, yeah. His headshot is still hanging up in there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's People cool. think, like, oh, Florida comedy's got to be cool with all the tourists. The crowds must be great. I'm like, no, not really. Like, all of us are, like, young people trying to, like, get famous in the state that, like, launched Larry the Cable Guy's career, so.
Yeah, and I feel like it's just, there's only so many places, and if you're just joining us, sit down with Kyle Roos. Kyle's a comic here in the area, tattoo artist, woo-woo, a culinary genius, amongst other things.
A rice cooker.
Yes, a rice cooker. But yeah, man, I feel like there's only a couple places you can go, either Los Angeles, California, New York, or you get stuck in Chicago sometimes, and usually
Chicago
those people end up.
Apparently awesome. There's a lot of good comedy towns out there that are kind of under the radar. Like, I haven't been, but apparently Austin, Texas has like a really good, like,
that makes sense,
comedy scene. Denver makes perfect sense because everybody's stoned out there. Right. And then
Portland,
yeah, Oregon. And I know personally, like, Wilmington, North Carolina has been like one of my favorite towns to like stop through. Like, there's a great scene of comics there. A lot of independent shows and like a really, really awesome basement like comedy club.
But even that being said, with a great comedy scene, it doesn't make a lick of difference. Cause yeah, you still got to be in New York or LA if you want to do
like
any
even
sort of
like
work.
Even in Florida, it seems like Orlando is kind of the best spot to be because it's got like that Disney background. Like, it's Orlando. You never know who's gonna be there. They have some really nice venues. I'm not gonna trash any Orlando comics personally. All the ones in Orlando that know that I like them know that I like them.
Right.
And all the ones that are unsure of that, like, are probably people that I want to die.
Yeah.
Not really.
I don't have much experience with Orlando, but I know just by, you know, being in Orlando, actually having clubs down there. I mean,
yeah, they have a few. We have plenty of clubs. Mm-hmm. It's just, it seems like all but like one or two don't really cater to too many of the local people. You know, like I mean, there's the St. Pete Coconuts, there's the Clearwater Coconuts, there's Snappers. There's the Improv, there's Side Splitters, like, there's, I mean, that's just, I mean, those are all basically within, like, 30 minutes of each other, 40 minutes, you know, I mean, like, you could probably drive, St. Pete Coconuts being, like, the southernmost, like, you could drive from there to Side Splitters in probably 45 minutes.
Yeah.
There's five, like, workable clubs in the area, and, like, we have a ton of one-nighters, which is how, like, me personally, like, that's how, like, I stay booked, is doing, like, dingy bar one-nighters, you know? Like, I mean, that's kind of my scene.
Yeah.
I really like the bar crowds. Like, I get along with those people. Like, I know, like, I can do a bar show in the Statesboro, Georgia, you know what I mean? And, like, never been there, never met anybody there, but I know every one of those people, you know what I mean? Like, if anybody that's ever been to a bar knows, like, all right, that's the jaded divorcee chick. Like, that's the guy who drinks too much. It's the same cast of characters no matter where you are. It's like watching Roadhouse, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's the same group of people, you know?
Yeah.
This is how it is.
When did you start? Like, when did you do your first open mic or get your first gig? Or
12 years ago.
How old were you?
17.
Oh, wow.
Just dropped out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was working at Subway full-time, and I wanted to do stand-up, like, forever. I love stand-up. Like, I grew up in a house where, like, my dad had every Dean Martin roast on VHS. My mom, we watched Home Improvement. My parents were huge Tim Allen fans. My mom would literally listen to Jeff Foxworthy, like, in the car. I knew Ron White was, like, at a really early age, like, Richard Pryor, like, a lot of, like, my parents were huge, huge Robin Williams fans. Like, we actually had Mort and Mindy on VHS.
Oh, wow.
Kids. Yeah, like...
Was it taped?
Yeah, it was one that they taped.
Yeah, right on.
Off of the TV, you know what I mean? Like, we watched a lot of, like, sitcoms, like a family thing at my house. I think it was Tuesday nights, Roseanne at 8 o'clock at my house. The whole family watched Roseanne.
Yeah.
And, like, it's crazy how much that show was a lot like my life growing up. You know what I mean? If Dan Connor was, like, more of a womanizer and drank a little more, like, that
would have been my mom.
You know, that would have been... Yeah, right?
Yeah, man.
But I was 17. It was actually at the St. Pete Beach Coconuts. It was the first time, but it was, like, three locations ago. Like, that club has been, like, within a mile of itself on the beach for, since, like, 1986 or 85, right. I think, is, like, when they first started.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, calling Bob Shoemaker. I was like, hey, I'm 17. I just wanted to stand there. Like, I don't know. Like, we have an open mic, but, you know, you're not old enough. And I called, like, for, like, 3 weeks and was like, can I please try? Like, I really want to try this. And he was like, I'll make you a deal. If you bring somebody over 21 with you, you can go. And I went, and, like, I had this 5 minutes plan, and I was, like, ready. And, like, I did my first joke. It was the first joke I ever wrote, and, like, it actually did good. It's the first joke that I ever did. The first time I ever tried to do a joke on stage, it actually got a laugh. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then I did my second one, and nothing. Like, out of the 5 minutes of stuff I had, like, that one joke did, like, really good. Like, I was like, man, people actually laughed. You know what I mean?
This is easy. I don't know what it was for.
And then I died. I mean, the microphone was shaking in my hand the whole time. Like, and I did it, and I got off stage. And, like, the minute I got off stage, I was already thinking about, like, okay, what am I going to do next week? And, like...
So you knew you were hooked at that point.
Yeah, it was a good, like, 3 months before I turned 18. And then the day that I turned 18, I went to every open mic I could for, like, a year. Like, about a half a year. And that's when I moved to Jersey. I was, like, 6-8 months into doing comedy and then moved to Jersey. And then when I moved up there is when, like, comedy got real. Because I was, like, a 30-minute train ride from Manhattan. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of little clubs in Jersey. And then there's the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, which is personally one of the coolest fucking friggin' comedy clubs I've ever been in. I tried.
You did good, man.
It was good for me. It was 30 minutes without even one.
It's pretty, but 45. we're done, man.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. We're done already.
That's awesome.
All right, next week, I'm going to try the new app out, but we want to try this one because Kyle's got to get out of here. So,
that's it, man. We got to get out of here.
Yeah, we're both getting out of here. Plug your social media stuff so people can find you. Kyle.
What's up? It's at BNDK. That's my my Instagram, and that's pretty much my social media weapon of choice is Instagram because of tattooing. You can pretty much get a link from everything to there straight to my Facebook. My Facebook's also at BNDK727, and my Twitter is just Kyle_Roos.
Right on. Great. So, Kyle, you're going to be on the 424. We're still here. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Free tickets, so make sure you get those. You can find me facebook.com/thehomemadebroadcast, facebook.com/radio St. Pete. I gave all that stuff out already. All right, I'm gonna get out of here. I'll talk to you guys next week. Have a good one. Bye.